and guide us into the scriptures. Help us understand them. Help us to obey them. And learn today as much as you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to talk today about the false prophet. On Wednesday, we talked about the Antichrist and the falling away, okay? That is going to take place. We did talk about that. That Antichrist is also known as that first beast, okay, in Revelation. He's known as that first beast. The second beast is the false prophet, okay? And we'll kind of show that a little bit. But I want you to understand, the reason why I'm bringing this message to you first on the false prophet is so you can understand the mark of the beast and what that's going to mean, what that actually means to people. Now, number one, before I go any further, there are some false teachers out there that I would consider false prophets that are teaching that, don't worry, just take the mark of the beast. It's no, you know, you could, a Christian might take the mark of the beast and they can get forgiveness and everything else. Well, listen, I don't believe that a born again Christian with the Holy Ghost of God inside them can take the mark of the beast. I don't believe that. So I don't believe he can. Why? Because he has the Holy Ghost inside of him. And there's a difference in, you know, falling into sin and doing some things wrong and out Satan standing in front of you and him and you bowing down to him. There's a difference in that. There's a big difference in that. So, I mean, that, and that's exactly what's going to happen in that time of tribulation. But see, here's the thing that people don't understand. People believe that you're going to be the impression. I'll get to this the next hour, really. But the impression is that, well, somebody's going to stand with a gun to your head and they're going to say, take the mark or I'm going to kill you. No, that's not how that makes for a good Hollywood movie. But that's not what the Bible says. Okay, and I'm going to show you that today. There's this misconception out there that's how the mark of the beast is going to be pushed. Like you're going to be forced to. No. Read all of the scriptures in context concerning it, and that's what we're going to do right here. Because before you can understand the mark of the beast, you have to understand the false prophet. You have to understand what his ministry is. When you understand his ministry and what he's doing, then you can understand how the mark of the beast is going to work, how it's going to be done, how it's going. Now, I'm not going to talk about what the mark of the beast is because I don't know. And nobody knows. Okay? They may have some theories, and that's fine. You can have theories. Hey, I'm not against having theories, by the way. I'm not against having opinions on those things and explaining to people, hey, guys, this is an opinion. Okay? It's not Bible, but it's an opinion. It's kind of conjecture. It's not firmly stated in the scriptures or anything like that, but I'm just going to tell you what some thoughts are from some people about it, but that's not Bible. It's okay to do that sometimes, especially with things like prophecy in the future. Now, as far as what we believe about prophecy, all of that must be taken from the scriptures. That must be solid. That must be understood completely. But anyway, so I want to explain to you, turn to Matthew chapter 24 first. And we'll just verse number 11 and verse number 24 we're going to cover, and then we're going to move on to a lot of other scripture here. But I want to explain this to you here. What Christ is saying, this is all, I'm trying to get you into the mindset of understanding taking all the verses in the scriptures that cover the false prophet and bringing them all together that relate to the time period that's going to happen in. Because without doing that, then you're taking one verse here. And you're just like, okay, well, take them all. So you can put them all together as a picture and say, well, this is what Christ foretold. This is what Paul said. This is what John said. And it all comes together. And there's continuity there. But when you don't, when you just take one, like many people do, then it's not going to make any sense. But you have to put yourself in the mindset of the time that this is going to take place. And what Christ said about it. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, there's that word, Brother Paul, that word deceive. We hear that word a lot concerning the end times. Deceive. People that are deceived. People will be deceived. The times are going to be times of deceit. Prophets are going to come to deceive. So what does that mean? Does anything in that word say to you force? No. They're going to give deception. It's deception. Get that in your mind first. These are times of deception. Okay? So that's the first. Now, Matthew 24, verse number 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." Are you starting to get this? The false prophets are going to come. They're not going to be like, "Hey, I got a machine gun. I'm going to mow you all down if you don't believe." No, that's not how false prophets work. Really? Well, listen, Joseph Smith was a satanic pervert. Right? He was a satanic pervert. But did he walk up? He's the guy that started Mormonism from the angel Moron. But anyway, he came. Oh, Moroni, sorry. But anyway, so he came up and he walked up. And did he say, "Hey, everybody, I just want to let you know I'm a satanic pervert and I want to sleep with all these women"? Is that what he said? No. Why? Because that's not how deceitful workers do things. So why do you think that the Antichrist or the false prophet is just going to come and he's just going to be like, "Okay, I'm going to mow all you down the door"? That isn't how it works. Yeah, because how many people do you think are, "Okay, I'm the devil, fall down and worship me"? Really? Really? You think that's how it's going to be? "Yeah, I set up this big thing, I'm Satan, I'm here, and I'm going to..." No, he's coming as Christ. He's saying he is Christ. Don't be deceived yourself in thinking that it's going to be like this, "Well, I'm going to line everybody up and shoot them with a machine gun if they don't do this." Yes, some people are going to be put to death. Yes, some of those things are going to happen. Yes, it's going to be a terrible time. Nobody's saying anything different. But understand that there are times of deception. It is deception. It is not by force as much as it is deception. How have all the cults been able to do what they've done? Deception. They give you a little bit of Jesus. What did Mormons do? What did Joseph Smith do? Yeah, he gave you a little bit of Jesus. What did the JWs do? They give you a little bit of Jesus. Don't you get it? And they're not walking out there saying, "Hi, we're heretics, and we're here to get you to worship us, and get you to worship our God, and get you to wear celestial underwear." That's not how they work. That's not how they do things, folks. That isn't how it works. So understand Satan's power. You've got to understand that. If you don't, then you get this mindset, like most people do, by the way, that want to defend a position that I don't believe is correct, but they want to defend that. That's what they think. They automatically think, "Well, that's the way it's going to be." That's not what it says. It says deception. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." If it was possible. If they were gone, they wouldn't be deceived. But they're going to be here. Because it says they're here. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. For in Mark chapter 13, verse number 22, "For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show great signs and wonders to seduce." Don't you get it? It's seducing. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to" what? "Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. They should seduce. They're spirits that are here to seduce. Don't you get it? I mean, how many people are actually just going to, if he walked out and said, "Well, I'm the devil, hi." How many people are going to, "Oh, okay, you're the devil"? Well, no. Listen, folks, the same spirit has been working since the fall of man, or since the fall of Satan. That same spirit has been working. It's the same deception. Roman Catholicism is a cult from the pit of hell, but they have billions of people in it. Oh, I'll prove that today, that they're a cult from the pit of hell too, by the way. as if I haven't proved it in the past, but we'll prove it again. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets, a time of false prophets. False Christ shall arise. You see how that's capitalized? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So he's telling you, he's saying that spirit, why? Why is he giving this explicit language? Because the Antichrist is going to come and say he's Jesus Christ. I'm the Messiah. Right. But this says very clearly, this King James Bible says very clearly, well, I mean, he's saying he's Jesus. Wait a minute, no, don't believe him. Believe him not. That's a warning to the lost as well. Believe him not. Why? See, here's the thing that some people don't understand. Christians have a sword. And they have a shield of faith that's able to block all the fiery darts of the wicked. So they have their armor. And why do you think Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood"? No, the battle is spiritual. The battle's a war, and this sword, it works. And it defeats. And the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's the promise of God. See, I believe it, whether it's tribulation and the Antichrist and the false prophet, you're not going to be deceived. The elect aren't going to be deceived by who he is. They're going to know why. They have a book. Right. Nope, because he said when he was going to come. When the sun is darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the earth shaken. Powers of the earth shaken.
Every modern new version that comes out, what do they always compare itself to? What does it compare itself to? It always compares itself to the King James.
Right.
It never compares itself
to the NIV or something else. It's always the King James. Why? Because they know. That's why. They know where the real sword is. Give me that one. There is none like it. Like David said of the sword that he took from Goliath. Why? We're going to talk about him today too. That's right. His hand clave to the sword. That's right. Amen. All right. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So he's telling you, he's saying, hey, listen, if this guy comes and he says that, he's not of God. Or when this guy comes and says this, not if, because he's coming. Because he says it right here. He says, where have you heard that it should come? Even now already is it in the world. He's saying, hey, it was there when I right now, and it's coming. Year of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, that Antichrist, that spirit of Antichrist, all that stuff, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's the man of the world? The man of sin. The Antichrist. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. Verse number 5. Ye are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know it. Amen. Revelation 13:11, turn there. Here's the appearing of this false prophet. Now, we're not going to try to talk about who that is or anything like that today, but because it really doesn't. It really, at this point, it doesn't make a difference who it is, because God will reveal who that is when times come. Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. What does he do in chapter 12? His tail draws a third part of the stars down. What are the stars? Fallen angels. He pulls them down. He explains that in Revelation chapter 12. I talked to you about that last week and explained that to you last week. 1 Samuel chapter, now, so anyway, and he spake as a dragon. See, this is that evil trinity. Do you understand? This is that evil trinity that will arise, this unholy evil trinity that arise, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan. One's the Father, one's the Son, and one's like the Holy Ghost. But they're not holy. They're unholy. They're wicked. But they're imitating that. And they're going to work the same way. They're going to work the same way. And I'm going to show you that this in type has been tried before. In type. Not exactly, but it's a type of this, and I'll show you that. A picture of it. A foreshadowing of it. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse number 13. I'm reading this verse to you. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Remember, the beast comes from out of the earth. These gods come out of the earth. Just a thought. Daniel 7:17. These great beasts which are four are the four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Interesting. Not going to cover that today, but just some interesting language. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Go to Revelation chapter 13 here. I'm going to read most of that here quickly to you. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Power, his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given unto him, given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now watch this. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them. There it is. There's that word again. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Next hour we'll cover that number, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But he exercises all the power. Listen, he is given full power to execute things. Just like in the days of Noah, of strange things that were happening and roaming on the earth and everything that was going on, the sons of God, the daughters of men, all of those things that were taking place, those manifestations of spirits and everything else, going to happen again. Only when this fourth kingdom arises, when the key to the bottomless pit is opened, when Apollyon and his army of locust creatures come flying out of there, and all of those things start to take place, there's going to be a lot of things that happen on this earth. All right, Revelation chapter 13, verse number 13. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Wait a minute. Now, why would this be important? That he would, in the sight of men, he would make fire come down from heaven. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. See, I believe this prophet, this false prophet, is going to come like a false spirit of Elijah. He's going to come the same way, and he's going to do signs and wonders. Remember what happened here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 37? Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, those prophets of Baal could not do that, could they? But this false prophet will be given power. He will have power to do this. And he will do signs and wonders. So what will he do to those inhabitants of Israel and around Jerusalem and those areas around the world as people are watching, probably from a device like this or something? He'll stand there, and just like Elijah did on that mountain, because what do Jews seek after a sign, right? And the whole world is seeking after a sign. I mean, they're looking for signs and wonders, and they're going to get them. The Bible says that you're going to get the signs and wonders. But what's he going to do? He's going to call down fire from heaven, and the fire is going to come down from heaven, and they're going to say, that's it. This is the true prophet of God. He did the signs. That is the Messiah. Bow down and worship him. Take the mark of the beast and follow him. We'll talk about the mark the next hour. We're going to get into that. But there's a scripture talks about God's people at that time had a mark. And the Bible talks about that mark. And we're going to talk about that the next hour. And it's mimicked by Satan. And this is when it's mimicked by. This is the mimicking of it. But they're going to fall. Why? Because, listen, Elijah, he called down fire from heaven. That was the true God. This is it. This is God. We're going to follow him. And we're going to take the mark of the beast. And they're going to damn themselves for all of eternity. I believe this false prophet will be much like John the Baptist. He'll prepare them to worship the Antichrist. Look what the scriptures say here. It says that that's exactly what he's doing. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, by the way, let me ask you a question. Did John the Baptist force people to worship Jesus? No. What did he do? He preached the word of God. And they believed, and they followed, and they were baptized. Well, what is he going to do? He's going to cause them to. Why? By his preaching, by his lying signs and wonders. He's going to cause them. Yeah, people are going to die because they're going to wake. Some people are going to wake up and be like, "No, You know, that'll turn into a big situation. I mean, it'll turn into death. Some will die. Absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it. But not the way that people think. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've been in that on and off here for the last couple of weeks, but turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 14, and you turn there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. I'll read verse number 14 here of Revelation chapter 13. And deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So he's saying, hey, we need to build an image. Well, where did we see that before? An image being built. We see that back with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When he said, when you hear the cornet, the sackbut, the dulcimer, and all these instruments, you fall down and worship the image of the beast. Which, by the way, that image was in the dimensions of 666 as well. So, if you remember that, just like the Statue of Liberty is. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them what? Strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The people that take that mark are going to want to take it. They're not being forced to take it. They're going to want to take it. And by taking it, it's going to make it easy for them to. No, listen. I'll probably double this up and talk about it again the next hour. Can God force you to worship him? Can Satan force you to worship him? How can he? He can't force you. He could say, nobody. Taking the mark is going to be a deceitful thing that they do because they're deceived by Antichrist. It's not going to be because, well, against my wishes, I'm going to take this, otherwise I won't get to eat a cheeseburger. No. You, what's that? Yeah, I mean, that's like the Left Behind movies. I mean, I guess they make great Hollywood movies, but they don't make good theology because that's not what it says. It says that they're deceived. It says that, yes, some people are going to die from the outcome because some are going to be like, no. And then what's he going to do? Well, there you go. You're done. I'm sure. Chop off your head. I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. But it's a matter of deception. And yeah, he'll make war with the saints. But the saints are going to die, some of them, and some of them will live. But he's going to make war with them, and they're going to die. But they're not going to die because they don't take the mark. They're going to die because they weren't planning on taking it anyway, and they're at war with him because they hate him. I mean, honestly, if you're faced with that, it's like, okay, I'm going to chop your head off. Okay. But see, people are setting up a scenario in your mind, which is not in the scriptures, by the way. Oh no, they're gonna threaten your children. No. It doesn't say that. Okay. Again, that makes a good Hollywood plot, but it doesn't say that. Remember, I want you again, keep in mind, it's deception. It's deception. If I'm sticking a gun to your head and saying, take the mark, I'll kill you, you're not deceived. That's not deception. That's not deception. That's murder. It's not deception. Right? I mean, am I thinking? I mean, he keeps saying over and over again, there are times of deceit, deception, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, deceiving, deception, deceiving. That's all you see when you read these verses about this time are deception, deceiving, and everywhere. Matthew and Mark and Luke and Paul and Revelation, they're all saying the same thing. Deception. Deceived. That's the ministry of the false prophet, is to deceive. He's making the paths straight for the Antichrist. Right? All deceivableness of unrighteousness, them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. What lie are they going to believe? What is he talking about? What lie? That's God. That the dragon is God, that the Antichrist is his son, and the false prophet is of God. They're going to believe a lie. What's the lie that damns you? That Jesus isn't Christ. that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh. And you have this book to warn you. And these words are here to warn you. Is it any wonder why the devil has so many versions? Is it any wonder why they're created in the rise of the most occultic time in the world? And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, Matthew 24:24, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I mean, Daniel, they couldn't, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, those, they couldn't get, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't get those men to give them worship. They said, just kill me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to worship him. I'm not going to. Right, they already knew they were going to die if they said no. They knew they were going to, they already knew it. They saw the decree that went out. They knew what it was, but they were like, I'm not going to worship him anyway. Yeah, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. Amen? God's people, the saints of God, are going to look at that Antichrist and say, we are not careful to answer thee. You rotten devil. Amen. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark with the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And the beast which I saw, Revelation 19, verse number 20, and the beast which was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Do you see how it keeps saying, it keeps going back to the miracles of this prophet? It keeps addressing the deceit, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. Why? Because that's what's going to be used to persuade people. Right. Miracles. That's what it's about. That's what they're going to do. That's the whole goal. That's how you deceive. With which he did, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. You have to worship him before you get the mark. You're voluntarily worshiping him before you take the mark. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, I think an image is probably... I mean, this is speculation because I can't prove it. So, I mean, we're speculating. I mean, there's no way to prove it. I think it's going to be like a hologram. I think it's going to be something like that. I think that's going to be kind of image, but I could be wrong. I don't know. It's speculation. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Right. And a holographic image that could appear anywhere could do that very easily. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see, I guess, if we're here. we'll see it. We'll know. Anyway, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. See, there's the deceit again. You see, it's all by deception. Honestly, how many willing soldiers that are going to fight on your side, which is what he's looking for, are you going to have if they don't want to do it anyway? Who has an army of people that don't want to fight for you? I mean, nobody. They're willing. They're people that are willing. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. And when he had called unto him okay, now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10, and verse number 1. I want to show you something here. I want to give you a type of this false prophet's ministry. Okay? Again, this is not the false prophet. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a type of the ministry. Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to read some language here, okay? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So he goes through the 12 apostles. And the last one, he says, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So have you noticed something here that he gave power unto all 12 of these apostles, disciples? All 12 of them had power. So even Judas had power. He had power to do miracles. Interesting, isn't it? These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, and enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. No, watch this. Watch what this false prophet has power to do. Judas was a what? He was a false prophet. I'm not saying he's the false prophet. I'm saying he is a false prophet, right? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. All 12 have power. Says it. Jesus said, I gave them the power. All of them. Now, Judas is a great type of this because Jesus gave him power and he was one of the 12. And he said, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse number 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Interesting, isn't it? So this devil had power to, this man that was devil, was a devil or devil possessed, had power. He did call him a devil. I know. It's interesting. But I know. It's interesting. Judas Iscariot is one of the most interesting characters in the scriptures. He's the man of Kerioth. There's just a lot of things that are very interesting about him. But anyway, so, John chapter 10 and verse number 20 says, many of them said, he hath, now, watch this. God is allowing Judas to have this power. Okay, Jesus Christ gave Judas this power to go out and do this. Now, God is allowing this to come down to a completed end with the false prophet, as he's going to have power, that God's going to allow the dragon and all of them to do what they're going to do. Now, John chapter 10 and verse number 20, this is how they're going to be deceived, though. Remember, we talked about deceit. Turn to John chapter 10 and you're going to see how they're deceived. Watch closely here, because this is where it explains everything. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? They're talking about Jesus. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? See, they're reasoning with themselves that a prophet, no man could have this power unless it came from God, unless they were of God. No devil would open somebody's eyes and heal them. Well, the false prophet's gonna. He's gonna do miracles and signs and lying wonders. He's gonna heal people. And what are the Jews gonna think? And what are those that are in the world gonna think that are under strong delusion? What are they gonna believe, many of them? Well, this must be from God. You already see it in the scriptures where they believed it anyway. They believe, well, no devil could do this. Oh, one's gonna. Yeah, one's gonna. John chapter 17, verse number 12. Jesus said this, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That son of perdition was talking about Judas. All right, the Antichrist is called the son of perdition. So, you can take from that he's a type of the Antichrist or, whatever you want to study out yourself on that. It's up to you. But Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. We see someone who is a false prophet. Judas was a liar. He was called a devil. He was called the son of perdition. The Bible says that Satan entered into him. We see that from the scriptures. And what did he have? He had power. So we see a foreshadowing of a false prophet right there. And how they're going to be deceived. Because this man did, he walked with them for years. He did the same miracles that they did. And he deceived them. And they were deceived. Even the disciples were deceived. Until Jesus revealed it. Amen. But they seen him, you know, die and do what he did. But anyway, his ministry is very similar to that of Judas Iscariot in what he's doing. He was just all about deception. He had his own agenda in mind. The false prophet will use deception. He will use deception to fool the masses. He will use miracles and signs and lying wonders to what? To deceive the world into worshiping the beast. That's what his ministry is. You have to understand the power of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils on lost people, what they're gonna succumb to, and what they're gonna do, what they're gonna accept. Now, I don't believe a born again believer with the Holy Ghost of God inside them is gonna fall for that. I don't believe that. Why? Because they already have the book that Jesus said when he was coming. Jesus said what was gonna happen. Jesus had already come in the flesh. He already said he came in the flesh. He told us if somebody else tells you that I am Christ, believe them not. Because Jesus comes back in the clouds with great power and glory. There won't be any lying signs and wonders. He told us when he was coming, behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Amen. You'll know because he comes in the clouds. Amen. This one will have a prophet that is telling him. And then, I mean, there's a lot going on at that time. I mean, there's a whole lot going on. But anyway, so understand it's the lying signs and wonders, the deception. It's going to be, the mark of the beast is going to be accepted through deception. That's how it's going to be accepted. Deception. Now think about it. You have all these, and the last message today will really kind of put you in the mindset of how this world is being prepared for it right now. In everything. They're preparing people for it. But I believe that the Christian that has the breastplate of righteousness, has the shield of faith, has the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, there's no way he would take the mark. He would have to fall down and worship the beast. It's not in there. We can't play with what ifs. It's not in there. Thus saith the Lord is in there. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord is what we go by. See, if we don't speak in hypotheticals. We take this as our authority. Whatever this has in it, this is what it says. This is what he's going to do. He's already told you what Satan's going to do. He's already told you how he's going to react and how he's going to act and what the roadmap in Revelation says it all. He tells you exactly what he's going to do. Every step of the way, and tells you how you will know. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Amen. He tells you what the sign of his coming is going to be. He tells you how it's going to happen, who the major players are down here, how everything's going to fall out, that there's going to be a false prophet, there'll be many false prophets that shall arise, and many false Christs that shall arise. I believe that's happening, that's been happening. I believe every generation we see false Christs and false prophets that arise. Absolutely, every generation. You see the Joseph Smiths. You see the Russells from Jehovah's Witnesses. You see Buddha. You see all Islam, the Prophet Muhammad. All of those, which by the way, they're all of those are satanic. All of those are occultic. All of those follow the same pattern, and I'm going to show you that pattern today. They follow 666. That's the pattern they follow. I'm going to show you. In their pictures today. I don't have a fancy PowerPoint to show you, but I'll just show you on my iPad so you can see the pictures. That'll be good enough. But you'll see all those and you'll be able to make the comparisons. Wait a minute. There's a difference here. God and His Word is here, and all of these people and all of these cults and all of these things, they follow something else. Why do they follow this and this is so much different? That's because these are all of the same spirit. These are all antichrist. And these are those false Christs that shall arise. These are the blasphemers. These are the haters of God. These are the ones trying to set up their own kingdom. What kingdom are they preparing for? Listen, if you read materials on the occult, on anything else, you will realize that they are preparing for a kingdom. What kingdom? Not God's. They are preparing for a king. What king? The Antichrist. They are not preparing for Jesus Christ to come back. They're preparing for a false Christ to come back. And He's going to come and deceive many. Listen, He already has His troops that are there that already won with the Masonic Order, the Roman Catholic Church, all of these things, which I'll show you at the last hour today. All of these people are, they're waiting for Him. They're waiting for Him to come. Apostate churches now that are using occultic tactics and things, they're waiting for Him to come. They are preparing for Him. Yeah. That's what they're doing. All gearing up for the false prophet to come and say to people like, well, Masons, you've been waiting for Him. Here He is. Roman, 1 billion Roman Catholics. Well, here He is. He's who you've been waiting for. That is the biggest Luciferian order you could ever imagine in your life. Ah, the mother of all harlots. Abominable, wicked. Ugh, disgusting.
Amen.
Just absolutely heinously disgusting. He is a walking advertisement for Satan at Luciferianism. The Pope is a walking advertisement for Luciferianism. Man, is he ever. I'm going to show you today he is. I'm going to show you how he's advertising for Lucifer today. He is. So that's that false Christ. That do you see how all of this comes into play? How then a false prophet will be able to come with the power of the dragon, with the power of Satan, and all the spiritual manifestations that are on the earth at that time, and then he will just be able to walk in and unite all these groups. These people come, these people come. I mean, Buddha, I'm going to show you. I mean, all of them, they're all in on it. Put it that way. They're all, is there a conspiracy? You bet there is. You bet there is. And I believe it. And I don't need somebody like Alex Jones or anybody else to tell me that. Because he's going to be part of it. He is part of it. Because he's led by the spirit of Antichrist. He doesn't have Christ in him. And he'll be fooled by him. Amen. Because they're all working on the same team. That's right. Ye shall be as gods. And the false prophet is going to push that. They have another Christ. They have another prophet. They don't have our prophet, and they don't have our Christ. They have Antichrist. Narrow is the road, though everyone wants to believe it's wide. It's very narrow. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray you bless the next hour. Please, Lord, help this to be understandable. And help us to cling to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.